and Buck Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air.
Morning and welcome in. It is Chuck and Buck in the morning here on a Friday, a Bud Light Football Friday. My name is Chuck Powell. Ashley Ryan is here. Bucky's just been sick this week, and so we didn't think he was going to make it back till next week. So that's what we will gun for. He is not going to be with us here today. So it's Ashley and I taking you through 10 o'clock. And you know what? I'm all right with that. You're good company.
Hey, thank you. I try.
Yeah. Happy Bud Light Football Friday to you.
And a happy Bud Light Football Friday to you too, sir.
We're not going to talk all football, though.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Plus, you know, I think we first have to acknowledge Doubleheader Thursday. What a fun night on KJR last night.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, we're pretty good at what we do.
Two wins. Two games, two wins.
Two wins, two thrilling down to the last second. Literally, down to the last second, both games. And you come away with two victories on the night. That's something to celebrate here on a Bud Light Football Friday.
Yeah.
Has none to do with football.
Nope.
And yet we're celebratory, nonetheless.
Yeah, I almost had a party.
Did you?
Yeah, well, not really, no. Because nobody wants to wake up this early to have a party with me. But
what's the smallest party you've ever had and the largest party you've ever had?
The smallest party would be me and a glass of wine.
Okay. That's a party?
Yeah.
So you party every night, pretty much.
I used to, yeah. I try to not party every night now. And the largest party, I don't know, 100 people?
100 people? Like the house party?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever do one of those like Coachella things or anything
like
that?
No, that sounds like my nightmare.
Same here. And I worked in alternative rock for a while.
Oh.
And I obviously had, you know, the option to go every year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no.
I'm good.
Not me.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down in the Coachella Valley while Coachella has been happening, and just seeing the looks on people's faces as they're going from the grocery store back. I mean, they look exhausted. They look dirty. They're just sitting in there chugging water in the grocery store waiting for the shuttle to take them back. It just sounds like the worst idea.
There has to be a mentality. There's like a certain mentality. You have to enjoy being like dirty and grimy.
Yeah, which I don't enjoy.
I don't enjoy that either. Yeah. I'm a kind of a 3-shower-a-day kind of person.
Well, definitely not that either, though. Yeah. One is usually good.
I don't really like that. I'm not really a big crowds guy.
Nope, me neither.
So I don't know why people like that. I once dated a person that told me, why don't we ever do that? I'm like, what do you mean? Because I don't like doing that. Do you like doing that? So we kind of had to have that discussion. We're not the same person. We need to move on.
Yeah.
And we don't like the same things because we were kind of the exact opposite as we figured out a year into our relationship. I'm not a big fan of that. And then I don't like being drunk in public. So
I don't really like that. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but like if everyone around me is also drunk, I don't like being sober around drunk people. That's like the worst thing because they're all very obnoxious. So I would rather be in the obnoxiousness with them.
Yeah.
But I don't like peeing outside.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah, and I did
prefer indoors.
Yeah, outhouses aren't really my thing either. And I remember I went to the Gorge one year for Pearl Jam. And I thought, like, you have to do that once. And I kind of
that's a little different though. The Gorge, isn't it? That's like classy.
It is, but we did it where you also camp overnight.
Oh,
and
so
I was in
dirty.
My 20s, and it was one night, and I hated every second of it. And the outhouses all got full, so there was And there was drunk people stumbling into your tent all night. It was the worst experience.
I've never done anything in my 20s that I regret.
Yeah, nothing. Thank goodness. Nothing that was uncovered this week by sleuths online.
Sleuths. Jackasses. Here we are on this Bud Light Football Friday. But let's go ahead and celebrate like we're at Burning Man last night's victory. So we're going to have Ron Francis on today. He's going to interrupt our Ocho, and I guess we got to make room for him.
I mean, he's kind of a big deal.
It's only like a daily bit that we do, Ron. I mean,
gosh, Ron.
We could have put you anywhere in the show, but you gotta invade our Ocho. Fine. So we're going to do that at 8 o'clock. But, boy, that's nice. I mean, you're playing better hockey. You think you're playing better hockey. Your goaltender, who you invested free agent dollars in the offseason, it seems to have turned a corner. But you still have another test here in this first season in Kraken history. You got to get on the road and win a road game, which you hadn't done in about a month and a half, almost to the day, a month and a half. And so you head to Pittsburgh, of all places, and Sid the Kid and a Pittsburgh Penguins team that not only is one of the better teams in the NHL, but have been on fire themselves as of late. And Ashley, to go in there and kind of prove that, hey, no, this is real. What we've done here recently, we have turned around, and Grubauer's playing better. And to get a 2-1 overtime win over the Pittsburgh Penguins to start a road trip, that's nice. That's sexy.
It really is. And it's fun because the first month of Kraken hockey, everything was a first. And then obviously you can't have that every single game. But then all of a sudden last night to get our first overtime win, I thought, wow, that was our first overtime win. I didn't realize we hadn't done that yet.
Adam Larson gets the big goal there in overtime. McCann scored another goal, so he's got 17. He seems, after a little bit of a goal dry spell, he seems to be clicking again. He's had a couple outstanding goals the last couple of games. And you went nearly scoreless in the game, so all of the activity took place just in time. And so, when you invest, you start to realize, Ashley, what it is that those hockey nuts have loved for so long, and I couldn't quite get. But, man, when you're sitting there on the edge of your seat and you're following that puck around and you can actually now follow it because you've watched enough hockey that you can follow it, and you're getting down to those closing seconds and trying to either kill it off or you need the goal to extend the game or win the game. I get the drug that hockey fans have been on throughout the last 100 years.
Yeah, it is one heck of a ride, honestly. And it's fun to watch, and especially to have a team that you're so invested in now. It's one thing to us not have had a team and you're watching the Canucks or you're watching a different team in the league that you just kind of are somewhat into, but to now have a team that it's like, okay, this is ours forever. That's fun.
Speaking of into, do you feel guilty that we're having all this fun without Tanev?
Guilty at all? I do. I miss him daily.
Yeah.
But he was at the game the other day and did the pregame stuff, or I think the announcement on their last home game.
Uh-huh.
He was up there getting the crowd pumped up. So he's a big part of what they're doing still, I think.
And a big part of your heart.
He's got at least 3/4 of my heart. The other quarter is my family.
So there are only 2/4 to your heart?
Well, 3/4. He's got 3/4.
You said three quarters of your heart.
Yeah, I've only got a half a heart. It's black.
I thought you said he has 1/4 of my heart, and the other quarter is my family.
I wouldn't have put that past me either, though. Math.
Nice win for them, obviously, last night, and then we'll play tomorrow at 11 a.m., so you're going to have to get your a.m. hockey game on, so Islanders tomorrow morning.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you love that?
I do love especially because my daughter has basketball in the afternoon, so I can watch the Kraken game before we go to basketball, and I don't miss it.
Okay, so there you go, and then we'll be able to do the doubleheader thing again on Saturday, because the Huskies will play at 2:00 on Saturday against Utah, and they won last night in I wouldn't say thrilling fashion, because it was sort of one of those games that was won with defense. 16 steals for the Huskies, a team that led the Pac-12 in steals going into the game with 9 per game. Yeah. And then they got 16. They forced 16 steals against Colorado last night. Built about a 14-point lead, if memory serves. I don't know what the largest lead they had. I probably should have looked that up this morning. But somewhere around 14 points last night in the second half.
Yeah.
And then had to just absolutely hold on because of terrible free throw shooting down the stretch. And sort of this, all right, you guys still haven't figured out how to finish teams, have you? Which, you know, this isn't a great college basketball team, Ashley. This is a team that's been playing much better as of late, and they figured out how to win through grit and doing and emphasizing what it is they do best. And so they kind of have to have it's going to be a white knuckler every night, you get the feeling, with this basketball team. But they kind of squander that lead, and it evaporated quickly,
yeah,
from my eyes, and then held on to win by 2 points. Colorado had the ball because of missed free throws at the end of the game, had a chance to tie or perhaps win the game, but they could not execute. They got it to their All-American candidate, Jabari Walker, but Jamal Bey was up in his grill, missed the shot, and the Huskies end up winning another game. So, I mean, they are certainly playing much better. They're figuring out how to put together wins, and they're doing it with Coach Hop's style. We're going to play the hell out of defense. And try to get just enough offense to pull out victories, and that's what they did again last night.
Yeah, and I think they were. I think it took them a while, obviously, to gel and figure out their style together and actually be able to execute it because of their COVID issues that they had earlier in the season. I mean, they didn't get to play for however long. Wasn't it like almost 3 weeks that they didn't get to play and do anything? So finally, now they've been able to play and gel, and it's all coming together, and it's fun to watch.
Yeah, 60-58. The team shot 47% from the free throw line last night, but they compensated by turning Colorado over with 16 steals. Emmett Matthews is playing a little bit better every game. He had a double-double, including some sensational highlight dunks there in the contest. But Terrell Brown Jr. just continues to be the guy. I mean, not only built like, but looks like Chris Kidd. And yet somehow he is just he's just tenacious. I mean, he finds a way to the rim. And, boy, if I brought this up with Jason Hamilton, if every basketball player, and I'm talking about the Jamal Bays of the world, the 6'6", 6'7" guys who have tremendous athleticism, if they had the mentality that Brown has to scoring, I mean, you know, write your own ticket on how great you could be, because that guy's, you know, I don't know what they list him at. He's probably no taller than 5'10", 5'11", but he has such a knack for just getting to the rim. And I mean, that's the idea. I remember watching Baron Davis play in high school, and that was the thing I was most impressed with him as a high school basketball player, was he could shoot from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was like, why? It's a higher percentage shot right next to the rim. If I can get to the rim, if they're not going to stop me from getting to the rim, I'm going to get to the rim. And once they do figure out and they sag off, and then I'll hit them from the outside, but I'm going to go from the inside out. I want to go to the higher percentage shot, and then I'll accept the lower percentage shots, but I'll accept them when I'm wide friggin' open. So Brown's not going to have an NBA career. I don't think he's not Baron Davis. That's for sure. But he has that mentality. And boy, if guys that 6'8" guys, with 42-inch vertical leaps could watch him and adapt the way that he plays. Again, you write your own ticket into the NBA, because he's averaging 21 points per game in the Pac-12, for goodness sake, and he's getting layups even though he's 5'10" tall and doesn't have that much leaping ability.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was when I heard last night, but that he was the leading scorer in the Pac-12. I thought to myself, he kind of sneakily did that, right?
Yeah. Other than just grit and just they list him as 6'3". He does not look 6'3".
Oh no, no.
So yeah, 6'3".
No,
6'3".
Really? No way.
That's got to be wrong.
Okay, we need him to come down here and measure him. Really?
That's what they list on ESPN, too. There's no, he's like, I think he's shorter than Chris Kidd.
Well, I don't know that he's shorter than Chris Kidd.
He is in my world.
Well, yeah,
I've
that's
imagined
probably true.
It,
yeah.
And it's so.
Yeah.
But yeah, they list him as 6'3". So maybe he's bigger than what he looks on
that's
the court.
That's possible.
But still, I mean, we're not sitting here looking at rim-rattling dunks.
No.
He basically gets, he averages 21 points per game, and he basically gets 16 points of those off of layups.
Yeah,
and
good for
and
him.
Yeah, and in traffic, not in transition, not cherry picking and waiting for his defense to turn him over. It's always challenging the defender, challenging the rim, and figuring out a way to get a high percentage shot up in the paint. And so it's a tremendous mentality. It's kind of a lost art. You don't see guys attack it the way that he does. But if more people did it, if a Jamal Bey did it, Jamal Bey would be an All-American,
yeah,
for
with
goodness
those,
sake.
With those shoulders?
Yeah, and that athletic ability yeah. and everything he's got going for him. He made a tremendous play last night, too. I mean, Jamal Bey's a hard worker. He just doesn't have that scorer's mentality. But it's the save out of bounds between his legs that led to, like, a four-point play, that might have been the most pivotal moment of the entire game. But Huskies win, so they're now 5-3 in conference play. Which in the Pac-12, you know, when you're thinking about the Pac-12 tournament, you want one of those top four seeds because you get a bye in the first round. And here are the Huskies, where I don't think we would have said this a month ago.
No.
Here they are tied for that fourth spot right now in the Pac-12 conference. So good for them. You know, again, they don't leave a lot of margin for error. If they win, it's probably going to be by 2 or 3 points. But they are now emphasizing and figured out their identity, and they're doing a good job of recreating that most nights. Didn't against Oregon.
That was a rough one.
Yeah, but most nights they're figuring out a way to recreate it. So it was a fun doubleheader last night right here at Sports Radio 950 KJR. And I would assume Saturday you get the same thing. I mean, I need to check the schedule, our schedule, but 11 o'clock hockey game and a 2 o'clock basketball game. We're gonna get another doubleheader on Saturday, I'd assume.
Yeah, I would assume so too. And yeah. I'm trying to pull it up quickly while we're standing here. Let me or sitting
you know
here.
Let's play what's on tap, and
okay.
then maybe
yeah,
you know,
then
between
we'll
the
it.
Two of us, we can find out that information.
Perfect.
This is Chuck and Buck's What's on Tap.
Hey, buddy, what's the deal? What are you talking about?
Brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass in Renton. Remember, it's always 420 at Buddy's. Now with What's on Tap, here's Chuck and Buck.
All right, yeah.
I found it.
You found
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay, so yes, we've got Kraken at the New Jersey, is it?
New York Islanders.
This one says New Jersey, so that part's
does.
Wrong.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but 10:30, and then right after that, we go to Husky basketball.
Okay, so here you go.
Oh, no, I lied. Husky basketball on 10:90.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that
yeah, because they'll
sense.
Overlap too much.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. So what time is the... Wait a minute. What time
Husky
is the
Husky game is at 1:30, it says.
Oh, I wouldn't overlap that much.
All
right. So there you go. So I'm glad we got that straight. Sometimes in the morning, a couple things that get lost are details.
Yes.
You know, as you're trying to, you know, put together rundowns and what have you. So normally I try to locate that information, but I didn't have it right off the top of my head. So there you go. So Kraken Islanders tomorrow, Huskies Utah. It'll be somewhat of a doubleheader. It'll just involve the family of iHeart stations here in Seattle. All right,
yes.
Major League Baseball hot stove is preheating right now. Believe it or not, Ashley.
What?
They have actually continued their meetings.
What?
Yeah. So there hasn't been much information. They're not really talking about, they decided to take a break from the finances, but, and this is actually very wise of Rob and the Players Association, they decided, you know what, let's cool our heads on some of these, the bigger issues, and let's get the smaller issues settled, and then we'll get back to the big issue at hand, and then that should be we could be in a position to then announce the whole damn thing.
Oh,
so they have continued to meet this week is the point of it all, and they're going to meet again today, and they might get back to the bigger issues today. So, per our wish, baseball has not stopped negotiating their labor deal, so they are aware of the urgency of starting on time this year, and it feels like progress continues.
Yeah, that is excellent news. Yeah. That I mean, it's almost like they had to have underground tunnels to get back and forth to the meetings because no one knew that was happening.
Yeah, I think all the writers went home.
Yeah.
But they just went to a secret lair to talk about like expanded playoffs and things of that nature, draft lotteries and what have you. But in the meantime, the hot stove, you can kind of feel it preheating. There have been a couple of stories involving the Mariners here this week. Chris Bryant, a story linking the Mariners to Chris Bryant, and someone out there speculating that is something that could happen once the lockout comes to a close, and another one saying the Mariners are deep in with the Japanese player Seiya Suzuki, who is being courted by a lot of teams in Major League Baseball. So the Mariners, I think the gold rush is going to take place for players, and I think Jerry DePoto is going to be the top of the 49ers. He is going to be out there digging for gold nuggets as soon as this thing ends. He'll be panning for gold. So I'm excited to get back to doing that. It's a Bud Light Football Friday. Never have we waited this long to mention football, but Championship Sunday is just a couple of days away. We will cover that. Luke Wilson's going to join us at 8:30 this morning, also at 8:45. Hugh Millen at 9, Mike Holmgren at 9:30. So your normal lineup from 8 to 10 on a Bud Light Football Friday. We'll also talk a little Seahawks as well. The D.C. search continues quietly on the Seahawks front. So for the final time, single tier, we will chat with Curtis Crabtree at 7 o'clock today. Curtis is moving on from KJR, so an opportunity to number one, tell him thank you. Number two, to wish him good luck, and then number three, squeeze every bit of Seahawks knowledge out of him we can.
Yep, we're gonna wring him dry.
That's right, before he walks out the doors. So our final conversation, I'm sure we'll talk to him again, but as a KJR employee, will take place at 7 o'clock this morning. And also we'll cover some NFL head coaching hirings as well before the show comes to a close. So a very, very busy day for you today. And speaking of the National Football League, it's time to put our money on the line here. It's our confidence picks that we started when the playoffs began. Ashley's leading this thing. Can I chase her down? Sports Radio 950 KJ. Chuck Powell, Ashley Ryan with you here on this Bud Light Football Friday. We got the big hitters rolling your way. Luke Wilson at 8:30 this morning. Hugh Millen at 9. Mike Holmgren at 9:30. And so our confidence pick segments, which we usually say for a little bit later on in the show, we have no choice. I have every bit of confidence to suggest that this is the only time we can do this.
Yeah. It helps if I turn my microphone on.
Yeah.
I also am confident that we're going to have to do this right now.
Yeah, we're going to do this right now. So Ashley is leading our confidence pick segment so far here in the playoffs. And so in the first round, you and I were tied. We got everything right.
Yeah, we went 6-for-6.
Yeah, that's right. And so, I mean, Bucky was terrible.
Yeah. He got one wrong. What a loser.
Yeah. So obviously, I mean, we separated the good from the mediocre right off the bat.
Right, right.
That rolled us into week number two. Now, you only got one more game right than I did.
Yeah.
But you got the right games.
Yeah.
You got your 6-point game and your 4-point game right. And of course, they're tiered by your level of confidence. So we had a 2-point game, a 4-point game, a 6-point game, and an 8-point game. The one I got right was my 2-point game, Cincinnati.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got every other thing else wrong.
Yeah.
And that's by the way, that really smarts because any of those four games could have gone any way, and they didn't go mine.
Yeah, so, no, they didn't. Go. They went the opposite of your way.
But your confidence in the Los Angeles Rams has paid off in a lot of different ways. So you got your 6-point game with Kansas City over Buffalo. You got your 4-point game with the Rams over
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's right. And then I only got my 2-point game, Cincinnati over Tennessee. So there you go. You jumped ahead by 8 points, and we only have 3 games to go.
Yeah.
And I really didn't have some master plan, but if we doubled the points last week on 4 games, then I just figured we would triple them this week. So 3-point game and a 6-point game.
Okay.
I should employ some strategy here.
Yeah, you should.
And perhaps I will.
Okay.
But I also don't like to make picks just to try to win contests. I like to be right.
Oh, I like to make picks to win contests.
So I don't know if I can catch you. I'm going to employ a little bit of strategy here today, but I'm not going to jeopardize who I think's going to win.
Yeah.
So. With that being said, you got 2 games to choose from. You got a 6-point game. You got a 3-point game. Ashley, I'll give you round number 1. Where are you going to go? What are you more confident in? Chiefs-Bengals outcome or a Rams-49ers outcome?
It's just so hard to deny the talent of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm going to have to stake more confidence on the Chiefs beating the Bengals.
All right, so Chiefs over the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I am going to take the Chiefs over the Bengals as well. However, not for my 6-point game.
Oh.
This is the only strategy that I'm going to employ because okay. I really don't have the opportunity to move the nutshells around for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Which will be for 5 points.
Okay.
So if I've got a chance to win, then I got to cash in. I got to get the team that I think's going to win.
Yep.
And I'm going to roll the dice that you're going to go the opposite here based on conversations we've had earlier in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And if not, if you want to employ some strategy, you can take the legs right out from underneath me.
I could.
Yeah.
But I also, as much as I like to win, I also like to try to be right.
Yeah. So I think the San Francisco 49ers are going to win. Now, I'm not as confident in San Francisco as I am in Kansas City, but I'm going to employ just a tiny bit of strategy here.
Okay.
So I'm going to take with my 6-point victory the San Francisco 49ers over the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
And my confidence picks, I just don't think that's a fluke. I mean, it's not really a short sample size anymore. I think Kyle Shanahan knows Sean McVay really well.
Yep.
I think that the 49ers are a tough matchup with the Rams, who I feel, even though they've got a monster in the middle in Aaron Donald, I think they're more of a finesse team than what San Francisco has. And the 49ers have won 6 straight games head-to-head with the Los Angeles Rams. And I'm going to put a 6-point bet on that continuing. They're just as physical as any team in the National Football League. And I think that's going to show up again on Sunday. So I'm going to take the 49ers over the Los Angeles Rams as my 6-point pick.
Okay. I applaud your strategy. And I think that your pick is a very noble one.
Noble.
Yep.
Meaning
it's wrong, but I think that it's great that you think that.
That I stuck to my guns.
Yeah. Good for you.
Are you attaboying me or,
yes.
you know.
Yeah. If you were here, I'd pat you on the head and be like, oh, great job, little buddy.
Basically, you just said, that's cute what you're trying.
Yeah, I like that.
Adorable.
Yeah, adorable.
Desperation can be adorable.
It smells good on you. So obviously with my other pick for the 3 points, I'm going to pick the Rams over the 49ers. And I feel like, yes, the Rams tried to blow it up on themselves against the Buccaneers, but I don't think I just think they're a better team than what they really showed on last weekend. And I also think that the fact that the 49ers have beat the Rams 6 times in a row probably really irks the Rams and really irks Sean McVay. And I think he's going to come out with some fun stuff and they're going to just go with
a Oh, that plays right into my hand. Come out with all the fun stuff, gadgetry that you want,
because
we're
fine.
Going to smash you in the face here.
No, because I've got 2 words for you. Cooper Kupp.
Well, yeah.
So
and I got 2 words for you. Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, he's great, too. They're both on my fantasy team.
Well,
that thing you don't have a chance of catching me on.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you rub a little more into my face? But, yeah, I mean, just the 49ers' best skill players, Kittle and Samuel.
Yeah.
I mean, just the way that they play is just indicative of why I think that they give the Rams difficulty.
I get
Nick
that.
Scott going to match up with George Kittle, really? Although Jalen Ramsey's amazing, I mean, the way that they get Deebo Samuel the ball in San Francisco, you can take Jalen Ramsey completely out of the game. Not to mention, in the last time they played, Brandon Ayuk was the star. So I think that there's a reason why they've won six straight. I think the 49ers are a very problematic matchup.
Yeah, I do agree.
Yeah, and so, the Rams have as much talent as anybody in the National Football League. There are three teams out of this four-team tournament that remains that I could envision celebrating the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams, certainly, I could envision that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go ahead and say the 49ers are going to take them out, and it's going to be a really tight game.
Yes, I agree with that.
And it's going to come down to the end, and I'm hoping. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to do something dopey.
Well,
he
that's what
does.
I was going to say. It's going to depend on what kind of game Jimmy and Matt Stafford have, because if they come out both playing sloppy, then I mean, who knows? And in that case, I would think the 49ers have the advantage because of their defense. But I mean, the Rams' defense is nothing to scoff at.
At the risk of drawing Jeff Garcia's ire.
Oh, God.
Garoppolo's going to do something dopey. I say this every time he plays. But after watching the Rams try to close out the Buccaneers, they might be even dopier.
Yeah, they were a whole host of dopey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There was Snow White and the Rams. Because there was a lot of dopey going on in that game. So I'll take 49ers with my six-point pick. You're taking the Rams with your three-point pick. And then for my three-point pick, I will go with the Kansas City Chiefs there. So I am obviously more confident in the Chiefs winning, but I got to implement a little bit of strategy here. So
I commend you for it.
I'm going to go Chiefs and 49ers in the Super Bowl, and Ashley's going to go Chiefs and Rams in the Super Bowl. I give the Bengals a puncher's chance in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just did beat the Chiefs in a game that both teams needed to win or felt they needed to win.
Yeah.
In week 16 of the season. So it's actually week 17, game 16 of the season. And so that's not that long ago. I mean, those were both teams that were out of their struggles and were gearing up for the playoffs, and the Bengals went and took care of business. But and I don't think Joe Burrow's affected by the stage, but
well,
I think maybe some of his teammates might be. So I'm going to give the Chiefs just an advantage from experience, and I also give them an advantage from talent, and I also give them advantage from coaching. So even though I think the Bengals give them some fits on Sunday, I don't think you overcome those three tiers.
I mean, you're not going to have a conference championship, hopefully. That is a blowout. I would assume that both these games are going to be great games, or again, I hope. And Joe Burrow is what, 8-0 in games where the season, you know, if they lost, their season could have been done. So I definitely think that he's going to step up, and he's probably going to have one heck of a game. I just don't know that it's any match for what Kansas City can do. I mean, just looking at the way they moved the ball so freely last week, it's like, it's just hard to deny.
Yeah, and if Mahomes was struggling earlier this year or wasn't being Mahomes-like, that's in the past.
Yeah.
Because he is back on track. As much as we gloat about Josh Allen, Mahomes was every bit as good, and he came away with a win, so you might argue even a little bit better. So he's just spectacular. The entire offense is spectacular, and Tyreek Hill is the fastest human being on the planet.
Ever.
Coming up at 7 o'clock, Curtis Crabtree will join us. We'll talk some Seahawks football with him. And, of course, from 8:30 till 10 o'clock, Luke Wilson, Hugh Millen, Mike Holmgren. So we'll have a lot of analysis from a Seattle perspective about the NFL Championship Sunday. Coming up next, though, they were hitting them straight. At least I hope so, yesterday in Ashley's world. I got to check in with her on her golf outing. Sports Radio 950 KJ.
Sir.
The Stove Must Go On. 7:30, we break down another Mariner player, key player for the Mariners right here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning. So be listening for that opportunity. And, of course, I'm more encouraged than ever that the stove's being preheated right now, ready to go, ready to crank out some baked goods
before
too long.
Do it.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see what you're cooking.
Start getting out your recipe books because I'm preheating the stove. We'll do that at 7:30 this morning. It's Chuck and Ashley with you. Bucky is out sick, been out sick all week and struggling with a couple of things. And so hopefully we'll get him back on Monday, but we'll go ahead and finish out the week. Sans, our slugger.
Yeah, it's Buckless.
We are Buckless.
Yeah.
What does a person do when they're buckless?
It's a very good question.
People think it's an easy question to answer.
It's not.
If not,
no,
fools.
It's one of life's more difficult questions.
You bunch of fools.
Yeah.
Taking things for granted with your buck in your life.
Yeah. And then one day, he's just not there for a week.
And then all of a sudden you're buckless and you don't know what to do with yourself.
It's the truth.
So we'll hopefully be back. Hopefully we won't be buckless on Monday. But he's going to miss a Bud Light Football Friday, and he's also going to miss, because I think Bucky has had nothing but great golf experiences with you.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's true.
What's the story that you were making fun of him all day? That's how he met you?
Yeah, but it was because I was supposed to be. It was for a charity golf tournament, and we were the divorce lawyers for men, sponsored hole. And so... okay. We were dressed as angry divorcees because our husbands went to divorce lawyers for men and left us miserable. And so we were in bathrobes, curlers, makeup everywhere, cigarettes hanging off our lips, booze bottles in hand, and we just cursed at people and complained.
Just man-hated all day.
Yeah, and it was great fun, and people really enjoyed it.
Did Bucky enjoy it?
He did. Yeah, he was wearing a skirt, so he got made fun of a lot.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. The whole skirt story.
That's how he golfs.
Yeah, and that's how you really met him for the first time.
100%. Yep.
Okay. All right. He took it well?
He did, yeah. Yeah, we became friends after that.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know if we became friends after that, but I saw him again the next year, and I made fun of him again, and then it progressed.
Someday, I think we'll become friends.
Yeah,
Bucky,
someday.
Bucky and I.
Yeah, you guys are on your way.
We'll get around to it.
Yeah.
Now, you had another golf outing yesterday, so was it as spirited? What the heck was going on with your life?
So at our country club, Mill Creek, we have this tournament called the Winter Chapman, and so it's a two-person tournament, and you play through brackets to determine a champion.
Okay.
And so this was our third round, so I am partnered with our head pro, actually. And we won our first two, and then this was going to be our toughest test. And I have a very high handicap, so we get some strokes, but this time we only got 9, which is not a lot when you're as bad as I am. And we ended up winning, which was miraculous.
Wow.
Yeah. And they actually walked, they basically told us on 17, we were hitting for our fourth shot, and our third shot, and they hit their third shot and duffed it. And then they were like, yeah, you guys, congrats, you win. We were like, okay, cool, thanks.
Did you hold your own or did the pro carry you?
I mean, he carries me quite a bit, but I will say I had a very long putt and I did have some good, we have a strategy.
Did it go in?
Yeah, it went in. Yeah, no, I just putted around. Yeah, it did go in the hole. And I had a couple other putts that went in the hole, which was miraculous.
I can putt a long way.
Yeah, it was just, that's all
not
we do
accurately.
Is you just line up and see how far it can go. I would have won that one, too. I had one that went way past the hole. But yeah, and we have a good strategy. So basically, all I have to do really is just get my drive in the fairway, and then the goal is for him to hit our second shot, and because he can hit it really far from there, and then we're playing a short game.
All right, is everybody jealous of you and your partner right now?
I don't know if they are. I think here's the fun thing. So my husband's also playing in this tournament with his partner.
I figured.
Yep, and they're in the same bracket as us. So all we each have to do is win one more match, and then we will play each other, and that is going to be the best most fun thing that I know I will get my butt handed to me, and I don't even care because the chance to annoy my husband and his partner will be far more entertaining.
How long does this last then? So you're playing.
We play basically one match a month. So it started in November. So we did one in November, one in December, one in January, and then we'll probably do another February. It usually wraps up March or April.
Do you have like a long list of people that want to be a part of this?
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun, and there are a lot of golf nutbags at KJR alone.
There's a lot of people that all play. I mean, it's
including Buckless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really fun idea. And it can be two women on a team, two men on a team, a man and a woman. So a lot of husbands and wives play with each other.
Robots can play?
Robots can play too.
Cool.
I think actually for the majority of people, they are playing as like husband and wife teams. That's who we beat yesterday. Okay. But my husband would never play in this tournament with me because he would just want to throw all of
his clubs. Who's his partner?
His partner is
Nancy Lopez?
His partner is our friend Lindsay, who is also a lefty. So they're both lefties. They're both very serious, very good golfers. So the two of them, they're like the yin and yang, and they always play. They play in all the men's tournaments together too. So they're, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very good.
All right. And you don't have any jealousy over her game?
Oh, no. He, Lindsay's a he.
Oh, Lindsay's
a
he.
Lindsay's
I thought it was all, it was sounding to me like it was all male and female.
No, it can be men, women.
That,
yeah. But that's all right. Yeah. So Lindsay's wife also played with someone, but they're out already.
Okay. All right. So basically what you're saying is that the men in your life can't stand playing sports with their wives.
Correct. Yes.
Got it.
Yep.
All right. Well, good. That sounds like a blast. Well, I think other people should copy that. Not necessarily join your tournament, but start your own tournament.
Yeah, it's so fun.
Sounds very clever. Yeah. All right, Curtis Crabtree, speaking of golfers at KJR, is going to join us in our next segment. It will be a thank you segment. It'll be a goodbye segment with Curtis. It will also be let's squeeze as much Seahawk information we can out of him before he exits the doors here at KJR. Sports Radio 950 KJR.